Dangerous prayer. We're in a four-part series. This is the second in the four-part series, a dangerous prayer that comes from Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, in case you didn't catch all that was in the video, 300 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube every minute. 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. That's 12.5 days of video. 500 years of YouTube videos are watched on Facebook every day. 40 million pictures are uploaded to Instagram every day. We live in a social media world. Now, unless you still have a flip phone, and I guess you would still count touches on there, you most likely don't have as many and help with the average, bringing it down a little bit, but the typical cell phone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times every day. Now, when you text, every touch, every tap, that's counted as a touch. If you send an email, every letter as you touch is a touch. 2,617 times every day. That's 145 minutes on their phones and engaged in 76 phone sessions per day. Over 2 hours, almost 2.5 hours on the phone every day. The average. The top 10% in the study touched their phones more than 5,400 times a day. Now, in the social media world, we are very careful to portray ourselves how we want people to see us. Maybe you spend several minutes searching through your photos to post just the right one to portray yourself in the best possible light. Why do we do this? Because we all want to be accepted. We were designed by our Creator. It's in our DNA. We have been designed for relationship. And every one of us wants to be accepted. Now, last week we began this series with the first two words, search me. A dangerous prayer. And when we allow God to search us, and to spotlight the deepest recesses of our hearts and our lives, He may reveal some things to us that aren't that pretty. And when God spotlights those areas of our hearts, we have a choice. We can repent, or we can say no to God. Know me. Know me. During a trial in a small Missouri town, the local prosecuting attorney called his first witness to the stand. It was an elderly lady. She was well-dressed, put together, very refined woman. She'd been around in that town her whole life. She put her hand on the Bible, and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And she said, I do. The prosecuting attorney approached the woman and asked, Mrs. Jones, do you know me? She responded, why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, cheat on your wife, manipulate people, and talk badly about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot when you haven't the sense to realize you never will amount to anything more than a two-bit paper-pushing shyster. Yes, I know you quite well. The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney? She again replied, why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster. He's lazy, bigoted, has a bad drinking problem. The man can't build or keep a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the worst in the entire state. Not to mention he cheated on his wife with 3 different women. Yes, I know him. The defense attorney almost fainted. Laughter mixed with gasps thundered throughout the courtroom, and the audience was on the verge of chaos. At this point, the judge brought the crowd, the courtroom to silence, and he called both counselors to the bench, and in a very quiet voice, he said, "If either of you asked if she knows me, you're going to jail." Now, this dangerous prayer says, "Search me and know my heart. Know me." Now, we can put forth a great image on social media and in person. When you go to work, maybe it takes you several minutes to get yourself together, get your composure, put your happy face on, and then you can get out of the car and go into work. Or you might spend time putting on the makeup and oil of delay to hide the worry and the fear. For years, people have put on their Sunday best to go to church. Why? Well, for many, it's to hide who they really are, to cover up the real person. When the scriptures speak of the heart, it isn't referring to the organ in the chest that pumps blood through the body. David wasn't penning this prayer, "Search me, O God, and know the heart valve of my blood pumping organ. Know every artery, the lining of the heart, the misfires." No. He was opening himself up to God and saying, "Know my heart." The Bible, when it says heart, back in the 80s, I heard a preacher say, "The Bible heart is the seat of man's moral affection." And I've never forgotten that. The seat of man's moral affection. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole. His feelings, desires, passions, thought, understanding, and will, and the center of a person. The place to which God turns. The heart is you. The person. The memories. The passions. Now, there are various ways in which we reveal our hearts. Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, how do we lay up treasures on earth? By hoarding. We save and we hoard. And certainly saving and planning for the future is wise. But if all we do is hoard and save for ourselves, then we place our trust, our security, our hope, our value in our stuff, in our net worth. And God doesn't want to compete with that. How do we lay up treasures in heaven? By giving, by serving. When we invest in God's kingdom, which is about the eternal, we are laying up treasures in heaven. When we give generously to the church, when we give to IMSEF, and it's that time of the month where we have the blue bags out in the gathering area, it can serve as a reminder, I need to pick up some food items for the community food pantry, IMSEF. When you give to those in need through the Moments of Hope outreach. When you give to the Healing Place. When you brought peanut butter, more than 613 jars, I believe, of peanut butter. When you give for Rise Against Hunger, Treat the Town, Garden of Grace, which is coming up next month, where we give away Thanksgiving meals. In all these, Jesus said, whenever you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And when you give in this way, you are laying up treasures in heaven. Now, if all of us brought our checkbooks and I assigned a certain day, everybody bring your checkbook, you're going to exchange it with a stranger in the room, and they're going to make a note of what you are passionate about by reading your checkbook. What would they write? Where your heart is, what would that person say about you? Now, there's another way that we can reveal the heart. It's by our words and our actions. Matthew 15:19. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder. And Jesus said, if you have hatred for someone, it's murder. It's as good as committing the deed. Adultery. That if you've lusted after someone, you've committed adultery. Sexual immorality, which is all sexual relations outside of the marriage relationship between one man and one woman. Theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. What comes out of the mouth? The things that you do and say reveal the heart. The words that come out of your mouth when somebody wrongs you or somebody cheated you or somebody betrayed you, the words that come out of your mouth to them and about them reveals the heart. The words that come out of your mouth to your co-workers, to your family members, reveals the heart. A family had a beautiful, crisp, clear spring from which the water that entered their house came from. How many of you have had a drink of water from a spring? A fresh spring? Yeah, it's good water. I've had some that's just really cold and crisp and clear and very little taste to it. Well, that's how this family received their water. But one morning they got up and one of the kids was out running around and discovered two frogs that had gotten into the spring. And nobody wanted to drink that water for hours. Not until the frogs were removed. The spring water flowed for a while to bring it clear. Now we can make a parable from that. These frogs could represent bad thoughts, the things that we allow in. And the spring is the man's heart. And if that which you let in is evil, the words and deeds that flow from within will be contaminated. What do you let into your heart? When it comes right down to it, this prayer, know my heart, know me, is truly about intimacy with God. For you see, we have a sin problem. Every one of us. We have a sin problem. We're all guilty. And because of that, we have a core fear or an insecurity. We all have a core fear that is driven by that sinful nature, the sin heart, the fear of being known. Seriously, we all have it. It's a part of that sin nature. It's part of that guilt. We put up walls to protect ourselves. We build our own private little prison cells in which we hide ourselves from one another. And we think from God. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, you can have all this, everything you need. All this is available for you to care for and to have dominion over. But there's one tree right here that you must avoid, that I forbid. They couldn't resist. The tempter arrived and the tempter tempted and they gave in. And when God showed up, they hid. Now that they have sinned, they had that fear. He's going to know what we did. We've got to hide. Maybe he won't find out. Maybe he doesn't know. But you can't hide from God. We hide. And I would venture to say that you are hiding something right now. And I only say that because I know myself. There are things I wouldn't say to you. Things I wouldn't reveal to you. I love you. But we don't have that close of a relationship. There are things you wouldn't reveal to me. Because we don't have that close of a relationship. And that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. And David understood. I mean, look at David. For thousands of years, it's been revealed the biggest mistake of his life. For thousands of years, we know. Millions upon millions. How would you like your life and your biggest mistake to go down in history for millions upon millions to read about? Well, we only know about it because God knew it. God confronted him. He fessed up. He repented. Yes, he did have to suffer the consequences of his decision. But in spite of that, God forgave him. And God loved him. And knowing what David would do, he said, "This is a man after my own heart." And through David's lineage, he gave us Jesus. It takes a very intimate, deep, safe relationship to share all the things that we hide from one another. And if somebody reveals their heart to you, somebody reveals to you a deep fear, a big mistake, or somebody reveals for you a burden that they've been carrying, they are entrusting that to you. And if you know you and you realize that, "I can't handle this," you might need to stop them and say, "Don't tell me anymore. I can't handle this. It's too much for me to handle." You might know you and know that you won't be able to keep it secret. And we tend to be empowered by knowledge and we want to share it. Sometimes we share it under the guise of, "Be praying for so-and-so because they..." When it was confided. And so we have to protect one another. It takes strength. It takes security. To be able to bear that kind of information. Spire Conference took place last week. Becky and I went. I announced, let you know last Sunday, that we had been gone for the Spire. It replaced the North American Christian Convention, a convention of the Restoration History, Restoration Movement Churches of Christ, Christian churches. And a few years ago, a million dollar grant was given by a foundation called Libby Foundation to study our churches and find out what's going on. Why do we have so many churches? And it's really not among the Churches of Christ, Christian churches, but why are there so many churches dying and closing their doors? Why are men dropping out of ministry left and right? Why are our Bible colleges growing smaller, especially with those who want to go into ministry? And they found that 50% of ministers drop out within 5 years, 70% within 10 years. 70% have a lower self-esteem than when they entered into ministry. 80% say ministry negatively impacted their family life. 10% who start in ministry retire in ministry. 58% are fulfilled in their calling but feel discouraged, stressed, and fatigued. 70% say they do not have a close friend. Now, I believe this is a reflection of the culture, not just the church. that you can find this in just about every field. That we are the most connected society through social media, but yet the most lonely society. Inspire is working to work through leaders to help strengthen the church and provide support for leaders and raise up new leaders and to provide support for the churches. Because there are so many people who are lonely and discouraged. So this prayer is not about knowledge. God, know me. It's about opening your heart to the Almighty God in an intimate, deep, and safe relationship. Vulnerable. No holding back. Here I am, God. All of me. And opening the doors to the deepest recesses of your heart and say, here it is, God. I can't bear it anymore. I can't carry this anymore. Free me of this. Cleanse me of this. Forgive me. Now here is the great news. God already knows. If you're holding something back, He already knows. He knows your thoughts, your actions, your heart from all, and He knows all that flows from your heart, and yet He has never stopped loving you. In fact, we find in Romans 5, 7 to 9, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. He knew your heart. He knows what you've got hidden. And yet He says, I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. Knowing everything about you, He said, I'm dying for you. I'd rather die for you than live without you. So David is pulling down the wall. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now you may have put up a wall with God in a way that is keeping you from surrendering your life to Him. I'm not good enough to give my life to Christ, and I don't think I can be good enough. So you put up this tough exterior, this wall that says, I'm not the only one in this boat. I'm just like everyone else in the world. Everyone's doing it. So you hide behind the wall of the crowd. You hide behind the wall of denial. I don't want to acknowledge that there is a higher being, an all-knowing God who knows everything about me. Certainly if there is, He couldn't love me, not with the things I've done. So you might hide behind the wall of denial. When you put up a wall with God, you fail to see that in spite of all that you've done, all that you've thought, all that you've said, He loves you more than you can even comprehend. And He will take every evil thought and deed and He will erase them. He won't see them. He'll just see Jesus in you. Dave Stone, in the teaching from the Woodlawn movie, the teaching called One, says, Dave Stone said, Satan knows your name and calls you by your sin. Satan knows your name and calls you by your sin. Jesus knows your sin. He met the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. Jesus knows your sin and calls you by your name. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman tells about the time he was conducting a prayer meeting when a man came forward to share his testimony. He said, I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot. I'd been homeless for a year. I've been out begging for a year. And I went up to a man and I touched him on the shoulder and I said, Mister, can you spare a dime? And he said, that man turned around and it was my father that I hadn't seen in 17 years. And he said, I looked at my father and he had a confused look on his face. I said, Dad, it's me. Do you recognize me? And his dad looked at him and he grabbed his face. And then he embraced him and said, Son, I have missed you all these years. Yes, I'll give you more than a dime. You can have everything that I have. You can have it all. And the Heavenly Father, when we open our hearts to Him, He runs to us and says, I'll give you more than a dime. I'll give you everything I have. In fact, He did that on the cross for you and me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Search us and know our hearts. A dangerous prayer, but a healing prayer, a revealing prayer, a releasing prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Father, now during this time of decision, if there's one who needs to step out, perhaps recommit their life. They've surrendered their life to you. They were buried with Christ in baptism, raised into new life. But just like the prodigal son, they ran away for a while. And perhaps you're calling them home. And just like the prodigal son, the father runs and he embraces the son and he places the ring of sonship on his hand and the robe upon his back, that you are my child. Or maybe there's one here today, Father, who for the first time needs to proclaim Jesus as Lord and to be buried in that watery grave of baptism. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 on that day stepped out and said, I'm in. And 3,000 were baptized with Christ. I pray, Father, you give courage to one here today to step out and make that decision. Or perhaps there's someone here that needs to place membership, a baptized believer, or someone in need of special prayer. I pray that you give them the strength to step out and say, I need prayer. This burden's in my heart. Pray that you would move during this time of decision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.